Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. Boy, didn't we have football happen this week? Like, just what in the hell was this week?
Upset, like, I thought last week
was a nightmare week for tippers. Good grief.
Upset, upset, upset. That's all I could say for this week.
My God.
It's an upset. I think this is the first week that both our teams lost, but we'll go through it for week 9 for the NFL. Hello, everyone. Wait to hear all these scores. The Colts, our first game was a Friday's game. The Colts blew the Jets away towards the end, 45-30. On Monday's games, the Browns beat the Bengals 41-16. We officially gave the Bengals a curse because ever since we said they were going good, they haven't won a game. The Broncos just out-blitzed, defend everything against the Cowboys, 30-16. Oh my God,
very flattering scoreline considering.
Oh, it was pretty much 30-0 up until the last 3 minutes. But anyway, the Dolphins beat the Texans 17-9. The Falcons beat your Saints 27-25.
Just a shake of the head.
I was got some serious deep action by Matt Ryan in that game. The Giants beat the Raiders 23-16. That's for me. These games are ridiculous. The Pats beat.
That's not probably so much a larger upset as what I think. That's sort of on par with, you know, maybe Atlanta and New Orleans. I think that might be there or thereabouts.
Oh,
I think that was not so much a 50-50, but yeah, you definitely would have thought that that Vegas would have gotten the win there.
Well, they sort of are, but the Pats beat the, you know, that's not the upset of the week. The Pats beat Panthers 24-6. Here's the upset of the week, probably slash upset of the year. The Jags beat the Bills in a huge score, 9-6. The Ravens, I can't wait till we talk about the AFC. The Ravens beat the Vikings 34-31.
I mean, another overtime game. We've had overtime every week.
Which is fun. I don't know. I like
it. It's fun, but it's insane.
It's insane. I know. There's so many each week to week. Well, it's been one consistently week
been
to
one.
Week.
It's been one every week.
The Chargers beat the Eagles 27-24. The Chiefs beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers 13-7. The Cardinals beat the 49ers 31-79.
That's an upset. That's an upset.
Yeah, it is.
No Murray, no Hopkins.
And then same as this next game. The Titans beat the Rams 28-16 with their big kick, Henry.
They beat the brakes off LA.
The Titans are just, I don't know what to do with the Titans.
Well, over the last 3 weeks, they've had the best defense in the NFL.
Yes, they have. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Rams shouldn't have lost that game. Well, the last game was... No. The Steelers beat the Bears 27. Sorry, the bye is just for everybody. The bye team, our bye week teams were the Lions, the Seahawks, the Bucks, and the Washington Football Team. So we'll go straight up to the top. I mean, for the Colts beating the Jets, that was just pure run game, pure run game.
And that's what you do when you've got Jonathan Taylor. That's what you do on a short week.
That's
a big part of their strength too. Like their receiver core there, you know, apart from Michael Pittman in Indianapolis is not the greatest. So they've got to go with their strengths. And yes, even though Carson Wentz did throw for 3 touchdowns, it was a points fest. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor ended up having 2 touchdowns, 172 yards on 19 carries.
Nyan Hines
just blitzing it.
Nyan Hines, 74 yards, six carries, and he got a TD himself. New York had to end up going to their third string, technically, quarterback in Josh Johnson.
And why not Joe Flacco again? Like, I get it. It's a new system. Robert Saleh and his crew would have had a new system in there. But why throw away a sixth round pick to get Flacco there? Or is he just meant to just stand on the sidelines and look good in street clothes? Like,
there's plenty of complimentary players that, I mean, I could think of one straight off the top of my head that's not even signed with anybody that you could. But you've got Flacco in and you're not using it. I don't get it either. Like,
well, this is the second week now. Like, I get it. The playbook will be different from last year, so you know that's all well and good. But still, you've burned a sixth round pick when all you had to do was just re-sign him last year.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Poor by management.
In saying that, Josh Johnson was you know, pretty competitive. He got sacked twice and he only had through one interception, but he did throw three TDs in the game. Wasn't, you know, for a third string, he wasn't sort of too bad. He got over 300 yards. Elijah Moore's their future. I mean, he wasn't in this game, but, you know, Corey Javis hasn't really led the world on fire in this team this year. He probably hasn't really been there that much, but, you know, he was a big signing for them.
That's right. So. Yeah, he's been hurt. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's been, I guess, sort of up and down in targets and everything as well. So, but he's a thick receiver. He's not really a super fast receiver. So, you know, he's going to be a lot of his catches and targets are either going to be not so much behind the line of scrimmage, but possibly only, you know, short dink and dunk ones. He's not going to be burning a whole lot of people with speeds. He's more of a wider wide receiver. So even if he lines up in the slot and takes, you know, takes things across the middle, and it's more of a tight end type role. But he has been a little bit disappointing, and that's probably to do a lot with the quarterback play there as well.
Well, that's exactly right. Did you expect that just on the next game? Did you expect the Browns to demolish the Bengals? I mean, at the end of the day,
no,
easily?
Because I tipped Cincinnati, so absolutely not.
I mean,
at home, like that's the thing. It's in Cincinnati. Like, this is a divisional game, but once again, like you said, this was all about the run.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was all exactly right. You know, Nick Chubb back again. Nick Chubb gets over 130 yards, and Nick Chubb gets two touchdowns. So, you know,
Cleveland's defense though as well had it is pretty Cincinnati good. On the back foot. You had a nearly full length field pick six by Denzel Ward. Cincinnati just couldn't get out of their own way. Jamar Chase had a fumble early. Joe Burrow had an early interception. It just turnovers were killing them, and Cleveland were pouncing on everything. Cleveland's defense was just, they were just mauling Cincinnati up front, and Joe Burrow was running for his life.
We both know the Bengals O-line isn't great anyway, and a team that's going to, you know, expose them of that is going to be the Browns because of their awesome defense. So,
no, that's right, because of their front four. But now that they've actually started to get some nice secondary play as well, you know, Denzel Ward has been back for a couple of weeks now. He was out to sort of start the season, but they're starting to get healthy, really healthy, and starting to really push people back with defensive. And we know that Cleveland's defense is good. We know that.
Well, like you said from the top of this, like they're purely winning off the back of their defense. You know, Baker's doing what he can, but this AFC North, I mean, this whole AFC, this is why I wanted to, you know, mention it. This whole AFC is massively wide open. This AFC North, you know, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you know, 5-3, and then after these. 5-3, and then 5-4, 5-4. There's no standouts in any AFC divisional or divisions is probably what I should say at all. Not one.
No, that's right. Well, the team at the moment with the best record is Tennessee. I don't think too many people seen that coming, and that could drastically change now with the injury to Derrick Henry. So, yeah, it's fairly even across the board.
It's just like I thought, it, you know.
Even the AFC West, is pretty much the same as the AFC North.
I just thought that's good because that's exactly right because I thought, you know, the way they were playing, I thought my multi of picking all the divisional winners was dead in the water for a few of these AFC divisions, and a lot of them are very much alive, especially the Chiefs.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was crazy. But the Browns are good. Like I said, Browns win off the back of their defense.
And Nick Chubb.
And Nick Chubb. Exactly. And when he's back, Kareem Hunt. They both are great together. They really are. You know, Kareem Hunt has been great ever since his move there. For all the stuff that he went through before on his own accord, he has been quiet, fantastic, and great for that team. That has been his best move probably ever, considering where he was. So,
considering where he was, I guess, personally as well. Like, he was exactly, yeah, his career right. was in... His career was in total jeopardy, and the Browns threw him.
He completely flipped it around. Like a lot of these ones that haven't, he has. He's flipped it around. So I don't really want to talk about that next game.
I mean, I know you do because it was. Look, I won't say that just.
Talk about another run
that
game.
That is just a shocking result as Jacksonville over Buffalo. And I'll tell you that why very soon.
Talk Once about another run game.
But this game was just a total holy crap. Like, is this a team that's just come off a Super Bowl win, Denver Broncos? Like, what the F?
I mean, we could have literally been, we should have been 7-1 after this game. And you know, had the best record in the NFC. That's what we should have had.
Dak was awful to start this game. Awful.
Oh, of course he was. Dak was awful, period, in this game, I think. And then he's moved to the run game, and that didn't really help at all. Like, Zeke only got 50 yards. Well, wouldn't even...
No,
even
they essentially had nothing from Pollard either. I don't know if he was hurt or I'm just... They just
no, he was fine. I just can chalk it up to, maybe they were feeling themselves too much. That's all I could sort of think, because their secondary was okay. They sort of, you know... alluded away the air a bit, but the gaps were opening up for Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon up front.
Oh, their rush defense was disgraceful.
It was absolutely disgraceful. It was like and you know, your Micah Parsons and Leighton Van Esch's of the world were the only ones that had to tackle because they were getting straight through. So Micah Parsons, you know, he got 2.5 sacks. God damn that kid's so good.
He's got it.
They were, you know, Dak was terrible in the first half.
They didn't need much. Denver didn't need a whole lot from Bridgewater. Like, Bridgewater's got sacked four times.
Yeah.
Like, they were still getting to him, and they're just like, righto, let's just pretty much abandon the pass game, and we'll just bash you up front. That was what was working. Yep. And so they may as well continue on with that.
Well, you know, talking
like
about
Dallas had four failed fourth down conversions. They were chasing the scoreboard so early. They had they knew that they were being blitzed, and it was really hard for them to sort of get into any rhythm in this game. And these fourth down calls that they're going for it on fourth down. Some of them fourth and long. Some of them fourth and eight. Fourth and seven.
Yeah.
Like you've got to trust in your defense a little bit and go, right, let's try and Denver control the clock beautifully.
Yeah.
We'll just say that.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
They did. They definitely did. You know, again, we said about Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon sort of turned, you know, I thought he was sort of dead in the water when Javonte Williams was drafted there, but he's had a bit of a decent season himself. I think he's top 15 in the running backs this year. He had another decent game. He's been great. And I don't know. Again, the Denver Broncos, now AFC West.
After the team would have been reeling a little bit after just, you know, obviously the news last week that Von Miller was traded. But their defense did not take a backward step at all.
Maybe that was a catalyst. Maybe that was a catalyst. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe that.
Surely that can't continue to happen, right?
Oh, you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. But that, you know, you just said it before. Like that division's technically looking at it is wide open. Is absolutely wide open. AFC West. It's just amazing. All these divisions, probably except for the NFC East, all these divisions are pretty much wide open. Pretty much.
Yeah, well, I think the NFC South's pretty poor as well. The AFC South. Sorry, the AFC South, not the NFC South.
AFC South, right? Because that's
the AFC South is pretty trash.
Well, we're moving on to the Texans going down to the Dolphins. Yeah, you are right. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to catch Tennessee in that division. So.
Look, I still think Indianapolis has a chance because purely simply on the fact that Tennessee now, they've lost Derrick Henry.
But three games back? I don't know. Maybe a wild card.
That means everything now is relying upon offensive scheme, and hopefully you can sort of plug and play. You're never going to get the same sort of thump as you would with Derrick Henry, but they've got to try and plug and play other running backs into that. It's just, we're sort of getting off topic a little bit there. We're sort of, but just speaking of plug and play running backs, man, Miami's running game is just, oh my God, it's horrendous. Horrendous.
It is. I mean, this was just a game that was just like
a welcome back for Tyrod Taylor. Good God, he looked awful.
This was an unwatchable game. That's the only thing that came to my mind. I mean, there was, you're right. There was a no run game in Miami, even though they got a touchdown. Their passing game was fairly pitiful. And they, I guess like anything, they won on the back of Jason Sanders. Pretty much, but it was just this game was just, oh my God. Look at the running backs for both of them. Phillip Lindsay topped it with 28 yards. Michael Gaskin topped it with 34 yards. Like, oh my, it's.
No, that's right. That's a tie
fire. Both of these teams are just, tie fires. Both of these teams.
The thing is, and as much as you want to say, well, somebody had to win this game, and yet technically they didn't have to, because if they go into overtime and then it's a draw after that, then realistically nobody wins, do they? So, look, the Dolphins got the job done. That's what they needed to do. Yeah. It's their first win at home.
Yeah.
So I guess that sort of sends the South Florida crowd home a little happier. If they had lost this game, good God, there's just the knives, the sharp sticks, the pitchforks would have been out for Brian Flores.
I think they're
still out there. They're still out there, but this win has sort of, has just put them at bay just for a teeny bit.
You're saying, I heard this on a podcast and then probably put the kibosh on him. That Saints, they're talking about who coaches of the years could be. And they had Sean Payton's name up there. Because, considering for what he's got and what he's dealt with, to have his team at the time at 5-2 was probably justifiable up until this game. And now he's probably slid down.
Up until the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
New Orleans laid an egg. Like at home again,
which
is they laid an egg and lost to the New York Giants at home, on not so much a comeback win, but the New Orleans started to wrestle the ascendancy back in that game against the Giants, and then end up losing, giving up a game winning drive to Daniel Jones. That is unacceptable. I can handle them giving up a game winning drive to Matt Ryan. He is a lot more proven, but this was a defensive struggle, really, for both teams to start, and not so much the nail in the coffin, really. Like it was a pretty poo game in the first half.
Yeah.
But there was a really nice drive by Atlanta, 92 yards for that touchdown right on halftime. And I think that would have really upset Sean Payton to go down like that. Yeah, it was what, 10-0, when they could have been only 3-0 down at halftime, but yeah, they gave up that big drive at the end of the half. You know, I've said it multiple times that this is one of the worst receiving cores in the NFL.
Yours. And Botwell. Let me have a think about it. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
No, let me have a think. But and obviously now with the news that Thomas is probably going to require another surgery, I'm surprised, and we'll talk about him later, I'm surprised they didn't put themselves in that Odell Beckham sort of sweepstakes. I don't know if it's the worst. I'll dig deep. But your boy, I'm only saying this because he's technically not your boy, Cordarrelle Patterson. Another 100.
Oh, that was a brutal run in the fourth quarter. Brutal.
Cordarrelle Patterson is just having a season. He's having a season.
But the thing was too, like, this also was set up by Atlanta's offensive line keeping New Orleans defense at bay, who have been really good this year. And Atlanta's front five really stood the test against this Saints defense. And I was extremely surprised by that. And up until that fourth quarter, New Orleans just had no offense, just nothing going at all. Trevor Siemian was the dink and dunk king up until that fourth quarter. And it sort of, I guess it sparked him. Even Kenny Stills got a touchdown towards it. The Kenny Stills touchdown puts the Saints up, and I'd totally given up on this game. Totally given up on this game. And I was getting game updates, and then all of a sudden New Orleans has scored again. And they've scored again. It's just like, oh, well, hang on. Like, this is a really nice sort of, you know, end to this game. And I thought the clock was realistically going to run out on the Saints, but they got their noses in front.
Yeah, no, they did. You're right. Yeah. And look, Falcons just played that last sort of, I guess, series beautifully.
Oh, really? The Saints D could not give up an explosive play. And that run down the sidelines by Patterson, 64 yards, it was just the play that absolutely could not happen, and it did.
And Young Koo set him up for the win.
Yeah, Young Wei Koo, he was never missing that. He's such a good kicker.
He is a good kicker.
I was hoping that he was going to, but he was never missing it.
It's so funny seeing the kickers, you know, obviously with game-winning kicks and them getting picked up by these guys, because the kickers are so small and these offensive linemen are so big.
It's really so large.
Large, but tall
This was an absolute opportunity miss for New Orleans to put a lot more pressure on Tampa in this division.
I
don't think a lot of people would have thought, especially when we're in week 9 pressure that they would have been able to put on there, because I thought this was pretty much a runaway division.
And it still
might be.
I think it will be now after this, and I guess what you've got coming up and everything. And now with no Michael Thomas, I still, their run at home is not sort of too bad. I think, I honestly think you just still have a wild card chance. I really, really do.
There's still a possibility of a wild card chance.
But I think Tampa will run away with this now.
Like, Tampa will run away because technically,
the Falcons at 4-4 are a wild card spot. That's how terrible even the NFC is. It's just this whole season is just, it's chaotic.
This is, very, very topsy-turvy, and the last few weeks have just been Tipper's nightmares.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's hard to, so interestingly, in this week, coming into the next week's game, purely on that reason alone, I would just, instead of picking on the lines, I'd be just picking all up, like just straight wins.
Just straight wins.
You kind of have to, don't you?
Oh, if that's what I mean, everyone's having trouble tipping the straight wins, like, let alone trying to pick the lines as well.
Oh, the some of the lines this week. I've had a look at them. I might bring them up towards the end. But the next game is some of the lines are just ridiculous. The next game was the Giants beating the Las Vegas Raiders 23-16. This wasn't a Daniel Jones game.
Teams getting the job done with a nice heavy run offense and a controlling of the clock.
Yeah, well that's exactly how they won it. You know both these teams, their kicking game was great. You know, Gano got 3 out of 3 and 2 extra points, and Carlson got 3 out of 4 and an extra point. So.
But that's the thing. Daniel Carlson's miss in the third quarter, crucial, because Vegas started to get a little bit of the upper hand, even though they weren't getting the touchdowns. I thought they were really starting to come back for the Giants, and that was super deflating for the Raiders to not be able to get. I think that might have put them up one if he had got that.
It would have been 19-17 because they got that.
It was 19-17.
So it would have. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it would have put them up, obviously. So, I don't know. I think was it just for the Raiders? Just want to chalk it up to, Well, I don't know. Do you chalk it up to another devastating thing that happened, and then, does devastating after devastating for them, or what? Lost?
I think it could take its toll on this team. And while they sort of rose to the occasion a little bit there last week, this week was definitely a bit of a. It's not a season killer, but
oh well, they're still 5-3, so they're not dead and out of it by any stretch. No. So not at all.
Did they come off the bye last week?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they did.
Maybe a little bit too much time to think about it. A West Coast team. Yeah, a lot of the times as well. I think this is a real thing, but a West Coast team coming across to play on the East Coast. At that 1 o'clock window, I think is a real thing.
Yeah, I could see that.
So technically for them, and it's only 3 hours. That's why I think it's BS. It's only 3 hours. It's only a 3 hour time difference. That means that would be, if they were playing this on the West Coast, they'd be playing at 10 o'clock in the morning, which is what they would be conditioned to. But that's it. I just don't buy that. But it seems to happen more often than not that West Coast teams that come across have that early window, that early game on, the Sunday afternoon, tend to not be at their best.
Don't you do this year in year out anyway?
No, exactly. They've got to come across to the East Coast, but they can't just yet.
That's exactly right. Or come a day earlier and then get your body ready for it. I don't know.
It's 3 hours. Like really?
Oh, I don't think it's a big problem at all. If it was we're talking 3 hours is nothing. Excuse me. The next game, the Pats. Even they're now starting, to sort of move up themselves. They're 5-4 and just behind Buffalo. But they won 24-6 against the Panthers, aren't looking.
They look like a bunch of fakers.
The Panthers, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially after the hot start that they had.
This is just kind of the Pats way. I guess that Mac Jones didn't have to do much. Was he accurate? We've been saying this nearly every week for him. Didn't have to do much. 12-18, 139 yards, but it was accurate enough to get his team the win.
I'm developing, seeing a theme, by a lot of teams this week that let's go to the ground and pound game this week, and it's been proven successful by a lot of these teams
big time that
are going out there and getting these big time wins, and for the Pats to be 5-4 and not so much looking at a rebuilding year, but coming out there and starting a rookie quarterback. Wow.
Exactly. And you know, technically, we all sort of went like, well, what? How the hell would you spend that much money on tight ends? Not that their tight ends have been doing much, but yeah, they're just shocking us. I think it's because their defense, like Matt Judon, again, you know, another sack. I think he, you know, out of all their buys, he'd have to be their buy of the year, surely.
Oh, you would. I think he's definitely up there.
Yeah. I think Sam Darnold's done now by the looks of it. Do we both agree? I mean, you know, it's no longer the New York Jets, like, you know, I guess not looking, what's the word, you know, setting up for you. It's just him, I think.
I mean, yeah, it's possible. Look, and I'll still defend him and
oh, really?
I still think that he's got, you've seen at the start of the year, like how well he played. Like, is that just the exception, not the rule to what Sam Darnold is? So, yeah, they were really good at the start of the season with a healthy Christian McCaffrey. You know, CMC came back in this game, finally. Didn't really help that, but yeah, but he did. Yeah, he didn't really help out that much. It was Carolina's defense that really sort of let them down. You know, obviously, especially their run defense as well. You know, a couple of they had a few rubbish fumbles as well. Carolina, that, like I said, Sam Darnold throwing three picks and just turning the ball over. You can't win games without the ball.
No,
you can't be expected for your defense, who hasn't really been playing that well, to be making plays for you, to give Darnold the ball back and then do nothing with it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when he does
Stephon Gilmore got himself, you know, in a revenge game. But that was, I guess, the only sort of bright spot for this Carolina defense.
Yeah, no, that's true. But even when he had the ball, he didn't do much with it anyway. He didn't look for his DJ Moores, who was probably double teamed in this game pretty well. So that's why McCaffrey got
the option there of Christian McCaffrey as well. Like, if they are getting out there and double teaming DJ Moore, that's all well and good, but you've still got the option there of Christian McCaffrey. So it's not so much a dual threat, but you've got options there now. McCaffrey will be getting back into a little bit of game shape. So he'll go better as the weeks go on, as long as he can stay healthy and on the field. That this could look totally different in one or two weeks.
And clearly,
Sam Darnold's done for 6 weeks now anyway. He's got a broken scapula, so yeah, he's done for the next 6 weeks. So it's going to be PJ Walker.
Yeah, possibly. And clearly Robbie Anderson must have, slept with Darnold's girlfriend, because he's not even being looked at now. He's non-existent. Like, you know, even Chuba Hubbard, you know, who's a running back, got some receiving yards in this game. It's just, it's chaotic. It's chaotic in the Panthers. The Jags, the Bills, 6-9, just kicks. No, that's it. Like, it was amazing. It was weirdly fun to watch. I think commentators just love saying Josh Allen kept smashing Josh Allen.
There was a pod that I listened to, and they were reading through transcripts of the commentary in that game, which was, yeah, really bizarre to hear. And, you know, lots of, I was watching the Red Zone as well, and they were getting very excited about the possibility of a sack by Josh Allen on Josh Allen, which happened, and an interception by Josh Allen thrown by Josh Allen, which happened. They were getting Scott Hansen was getting very excited on the Red Zone about that.
Oh, they were going ridiculous. The defensive Josh Allen was good in this game. He was good. Like,
we know he was a high draft pick from a few years ago.
He was a very high draft pick.
Yeah, it's right. He's really starting to well, that's, this hitting. Is one of his this yeah. is one of his. I think that's his first career interception. No.
I have think it right that's his here. First career interception. That is his first career interception. You've hit it on the head. That's That's crazy. Yeah, no, that's his first.
And it just happened that he picked off Josh Allen.
Career, your first. Yeah, wow, that's ridiculous. That's amazing, actually, first career. But he's only 24.
No, that's right. And he's a middle linebacker as well, so yeah, it's not so much that they get a lot of opportunities for it, but yeah, it was just one of those that this we talk about, and we've talked about Kansas City being broken offensively. I think Buffalo really, when they come up against, and this is not one of those instances where they've come up against a good team, but look, their wins this year, and that's what I said, we'll wait till we get to here. Are they broken? Are they giving us a little bit of false, you know, a little bit of false hope? Because
I don't know.
Their wins this year, okay? Their wins this year, Buffalo, right? Two wins against Miami. We know what they are.
Yeah.
Trash.
Yeah.
Washington, didn't they blow them out like 38-0? Yeah.
Keep going.
Washington aren't very good, and they were meant to have a good defense. Houston.
Okay.
Which they beat the pants
off. Keep going.
And a broken Kansas City defense. That's their five wins.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. You say Jacksonville aren't a very good team, but this is just I don't know. It's punched a hole in that. They've got no running game.
No,
they rely on design plays. It's almost like Baltimore. It's designed run plays for Josh Allen. They really don't have a good thumping running back. Like Zach Moss is nothing flash. Devin Singletary is more of a pass catching back. He's not a real thumper. I don't know what to think about this.
Well, we'll soon find out, because I mean they should. Well, let's say they realistically beat the Jets this week. Their next run is
see,
pretty.
That's right. The Jets. We know what the Jets are. The Jets aren't very good.
So they'd have to beat them.
I think they think their wins and their stats are extremely inflated.
Their next run after that is Colts, Saints, Pats, Bucks. So that
they'll find out who they are in those games.
And then their run home is fairly easy. It's Panthers, Pats again, Falcons and Jets. So they got a pretty easy schedule. You're right, maybe they are putting up, you know, a bit of a smoke screen. I think this game just took a massive hit on Josh Allen's MVP season. I think that's kind of out now, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked at the odds or anything, but I think this is completely set up for a Tom Brady MVP season. Has to be.
I mean, he's right up there. He's right.
Is he right?
I think so. I think Brady's right up there. You know, the other thing that killed Buffalo in this game? Two numbers, 12 and 118. 12 penalties for 118 penalty yards. Just brutal. Brutal giving away that sort of yards being taken away from you. Like that is just that's a killer in a game that's, you know, essentially six all in the third quarter. Like, do you know what I mean? All we had was is it Matthew Wright, the kicker, a field goal in the fourth quarter to put Jacksonville up. That's all we had in the second half.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Wow. Yeah. No. Yeah. It was a weirdly enticing game to watch. No, they've actually got rid of. That's interesting. Every other few.
And they should have. And the thing is too that Jacksonville should have been up already again. They should have been up. Not so much they should have been, but they had the opportunity to go up 9-6 in the third quarter. So the kicker misses a field goal. I can't think of who the defender's name was for Buffalo that come through, gets flagged for hitting the kicker, like hitting the kicker. So it gets moved forward 10 more yards.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he misses again. He did the exact same thing. He hooked it to the left. It was a carbon copy of what he just did. And it's like, what the hell is this game? What is this?
That's right. What is this game? Yeah. It was a weird-ass game. Interesting enough, just looking at it now, there is no MVP odds that I can see at all. So they've taken that off, or I don't know, or it's just not available at the moment. That's weird. Yeah, although I think they'll have to prove themselves in the next 4 weeks. The Jacksonville Jaguars, amazingly, are 2-6 at the moment. I mean, and doing well on the back of their controversy with their coach. So we'll just have to wait and see how it goes with them. The next game was the Ravens. You know, I don't know. They're 6-2. They're interesting at the moment. They're, you know, after this win, 34-31 against the Vikings. They're another interesting team. Like, what are their wins like? I'm not sure, because they always seem to sneak these wins. I know they've had played decent teams. Okay, no, they have played decent teams.
I think they're a little bit more, you know, real as opposed to, yeah, that they've probably got a couple more quality wins than what the Bills do. Like, you know, that at the start of the season, them knocking off the Chiefs the way that they did. Then you're like, oh, okay, they are a quality side now that we know that Kansas City isn't really that good. Obviously, the get out of jail win in Detroit, they realistically should have lost that game.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They should have lost Definitely. That game in Detroit. Yep. So, you know, and the Chargers, the Vikings, and the Colts are sort of not so much quality wins, but they're a lot better wins than what we've seen Buffalo put on the board at the moment. So. Boy, Baltimore loves themselves a comeback, don't they?
Oh, they do. They seem to do it all the time. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
They got railroaded to start this game.
Oh yeah.
Minnesota come out on fire.
Yeah, they definitely did. Yeah, Dalvin Cook was smashing it up front, but I think it was both Thielen and Justin Jefferson. They did. They came out on fire, and then. They just did what they have been doing every year when they've been playing from behind. They've been doing these little dink and ducks. Lamar's getting these nice, cheap, easy yards and then having an open. Well, this time it wasn't so much Mark Andrews open. It was Marquise Brown that was open for them to sort of get back up the field. It was that I don't know. They're a team. Devontae Freeman was pretty good in this game too, which is weird to say, Devontae Freeman. They're That's a true. Team – that a 6-2 could be lower just from what we said. So that again, an AFC North to me is technically completely wide open too. Any team
That's just,
could win
yeah,
that
it's division. Totally wide open.
That any team could literally win that division. And you wouldn't even think the Steelers could you know, we all say Big Ben, but they're hanging in there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're hanging tough. They're hanging tough big time Pitts, but they did the same thing. Well, was it last year or the year before when Big Ben went down, and they were starting the likes of Delvin Hodges and Mason Rudolph, and they still didn't have a losing season. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
yeah,
well,
it was,
they were
it's
eight,
just
they were 8-0. They were on
sorry,
fire.
The year sorry it was the year before sorry before it was the that. Year before it was 2019. Yeah. So last year what were they like 11-0 before they kind of shit the bed towards the end of the season. The year before Big Ben. Yeah, had that elbow injury early on in the season, and they still ended up finding ways to grind out wins, and it's defensively is what that's putting them up on a mantle at the moment, and really opening up this division, and Baltimore, where you sort of thought, okay, that they should be the more dominant team. Well, in this division, and Cincinnati has sort of not so much come out of nowhere, but fallen back to earth. We had Cleveland that were good at the start, have been ordinary the last couple of weeks, and now have put together a couple of really nice wins. So, you know, it's as wide open a division as there can be, and with results going the way they are at the moment, anyone realistically can beat anyone except the Detroit Lions.
Well, you know.
And then they beat Baltimore, and they should have beaten Baltimore.
Yeah, this is – yeah, no, yeah. Well, you are right. Chargers getting the win over the Philadelphia Eagles, 27-24. It doesn't have to be in terms of fantasy, but a fairly quiet game from Jalen Hurts. There wasn't – it was not so much it was quiet because of what he did, just in general. Like, they end up, well, they finally used Devontae Smith finally started using your boy, Devontae Smith. You've been waiting for him for ages.
He has been so frustrating. And the thing is, too, with Philadelphia, only four guys are getting targets.
Yeah.
So that's making them very limited.
But who else have they got? I was trying to go through them
you have a look at teams like Atlanta, like the Saints. They spread the ball around, even though that those receivers there may not be very good. You've still got to spread the ball around, otherwise you just make yourself too one dimensional. They're only going to go to four guys.
That could be just because maybe they've simplified the playbook completely for Jalen Hurts. So I don't know, but I think we talked about him before we got on the pod. But Miles Sanders is an afterthought in this team now. Like they've had Boston Scott coming through. Jordan Howard was good in this game. So Miles Sanders was like top 10 last year. Now he's literally an afterthought.
Well, they even talked about Kenneth Gainwell, you know, sort of coming in and taking a lot of reps, and he's done nothing. So
nothing.
Well, I would have thought he would have been above Jordan Howard on the running back depth chart.
Well, he's not anymore.
But that's where they can sort of mix things up a little bit and go out there and game plan and say, we better look out for Boston Scott or Jordan Howard now. And then they get Gainwell into it. So it's a little bit different sort of planning for the run game than what it is planning for, you know, planning for the pass game. So,
Herbert was extremely efficient. Yeah, he was very efficient in this game. Yeah, very efficient. Only 32 out of 38, so only six of his attempts were dropped and 356 yards and no interceptions, no sacks. Yeah, he was very, very efficient in this game, actually.
No, well, that's right, and that's what I'd sort of taken out of this is both teams defensively just weren't getting any pressure at all on the quarterbacks, especially with Herbert dropping back 38 times. You'd think that Philadelphia may have been able to get a little bit more pressure on Herbert than what they did. They didn't. Jalen Hurts only throwing 17 times makes it a little bit hard to sort of get that pressure on Hurts because, you know, if he's involved in the run game and he's only throwing 17 times, then that defensively it makes it a little bit sort of harder to plan for. But like you said, Hurts got sacked once, but not a lot of, you know, pressure being busting through that both teams, you know, front five. So it looked like Herbert had a lot of time in the pocket to pass, and he rolls out well as well. He's a good mobile quarterback, and we all know that the mobility of Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts has yet to prove that he's a very good pocket passer. He's a lot better sort of rolling out and getting on the run, and we'll talk about another, you know, rolling out type quarterback a little bit later in what the LA Rams have and did with Matthew Stafford, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of things in this next game. Now, the Chiefs did beat the Packers in a low-scoring game, 13-7. So the couple of things, well, there's a few things to talk about. I mean, the obvious first one would be, you know, Jordan Love's official first start. Did end up being just falling flat. 19 out of 34, 190 yards. One interception and one sack and got a TD. Just he had a pretty good complement of players there. He couldn't find Davante Adams, and that could have been from the Chiefs' defense. And just he didn't roll out well. It was an interesting, and they could have been 8-1. They could have been top of the entire NFL, and I think they still may be top of the NFC. I think at 7-2 because they haven't had a bye yet. I believe no, they haven't.
I don't think so. Look, this game had started off too with Green Bay sort of not looking terrific, but they were getting enough done to be able to get Mason Crosby into field goal range. He missed one, and one was blocked. So that wasn't really helping them. Not seeing anything on the scoreboard until the fourth quarter. And again, Kansas City made some good defensive plays for once. This season, which has been a very rare occasion.
Well, then, so the other question I had is about the Chiefs. Yes, they won the game. Patrick Mahomes, you know, this is a, well, for the lack of better, any other word, it was a pretty terrible game by him.
They are still unwilling to take what the defense gives them, and they have a pretty, a pretty poor run game.
Oh, they do have a poor run game, but you know, they've got these elite receivers that he's just not finding. It's not them.
No, he's not finding. Travis Kelce seems to be getting bullied a lot. It's the fact that they're still not willing to take what the defense gives them. They're still looking for those deep shots down the field. They need to reel that in at the moment, especially while they're not playing very well.
But this game
was a little bit better in doing that, but still. And the thing was, all the confidence in the world would come back to Patrick Mahomes on that very last play of the game, where it was a scrambled run, which basically all they needed was a first down to kill the game. And I think there was only like a minute 20 or something left on the clock in the fourth. And he scrambles out of the pocket, runs out to the left, is being hunted down by two defensive linemen. And he's almost at the sideline, throws an off-balance throw. I can't think of who caught it at the end. There might have even been time. Actually, no, I think it might have been Mecole Hardman. That caught the ball on the sideline. All the confidence in the world will come back to Patrick Mahomes after that. And that killed the game. That was the first down they needed. Then they can go into victory formation. Boom, gains one. But it just something's not clicking there at the moment. Are they luckless? I don't know what it is, but I think a lot of it is teams now are preparing fairly well defensively for Mahomes from what I'm hearing, by a too high safety defense. And they're just taking away those deep shots and saying, right, they're forcing you to either say, you run the ball or you take the dink and dunk offense, which by the looks of it, you absolutely despise.
I think it's a little bit of that. And I also, unsubstantial information.
You're going some reckless speculation here.
Well, it's just a theory more than anything. Are there too many people in his life ever since he signed that $500 million contract and he's got no focus at the moment? Possibly. He's just on that massive contract, which means inevitably, and I'm not saying people coming for money, but people want you to invest. People want you to, this is what you're going to do with your money, blah, 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 blah.
The leeches and the Klingons would have come out from everywhere. Every little crevice in the ground, they would be coming out after the newly rich Patrick Mahomes. Of course they would.
He should have people out there, no focus.
Whether it's PR people or he should have out there that should be building a wall around him to stop that kind of crap happening to him.
I don't think that's happening at the moment. This is what I'm getting. He doesn't look focused. Like even
he should have the people. He should have a team of people deflecting that sort of shit away.
What's crazy is, we mentioned this AFC West, but they realistically could still win this division.
Of course they could. That's crazy to say. Of course they could. They're just keeping their head above water.
They are.
When it clicks, if it clicks, then everyone will be back on the bandwagon. Oh my God, Patrick Mahomes is back. The Chiefs are back. All is right with the world.
They're just
not looking at it at the moment. And this could have been total and utter chaos if Aaron Rodgers, had been in this game, because he would have surgically picked apart that Kansas City defense. Unfortunately, Jordan Love, like you said, first NFL start, he can't do that.
Guarantee Aaron Rodgers would have had them 8-1. They're possibly, if he can sort all his crap out, I don't think we mentioned that yet, but his crap with his COVID and then lying about COVID, about having the shots and then listening to Joe Rogan of all people.
Did he actually say that he said he'd had the shots? Like, I think there's a lot of conjecture around the statement that he actually put out. Like, I think the immunized thing is what's sort of getting people
He said, well, that's right. He said he was immunized and he said he took the advice of Joe Rogan of all people. So yeah, it's, you know, if he fixes whatever's going on there, it's all good. Cause he's fine through adversity. Dude's been through so much adversity.
He's very changed this year though, isn't he? Like he's swaggerish. But so with some of these statements and some of the stuff that he's coming out with, he seems a little woke at the moment.
That's interesting. I hate that word, by the way. But
I hate that word so much. I'm woke. I'm awake right now, aren't I? I'm not asleep.
You're an idiot.
It's a ridiculous word.
Well, you look at his off season. He engaged and married a Hollywood actress. He spent all this time in bloody Hawaii with another actor and all that. He grew hair. He looks super relaxed every time.
Super relaxed and super swaggery.
Maybe he is woke. But what I was saying is they are probably Super Bowl favorites now. Them and the Bucks, I think, even though they're both on the NFC.
I don't think you can take away the Rams out of this either. I don't think the clear favourites for the Super Bowl are out of the NFC. That's for sure.
So just before we move on, who the hell do you see to make the AFC side? That's why it's so perplexing.
Oh, I have no idea.
Who?
That's a total crapshoot.
Do you still say?
You'd have to wait until the end of the season. And wait for whoever's on a hot streak, because whoever catches fire in the last, say, month or so of the season, they'll be the ones that make the Super Bowl.
Well, I suppose another team we can't rule out is Arizona Cardinals, because they can win a game with young Colt McCoy as their quarterback and beat the.
I don't know how.
So they're 8-1. Yeah, good. Yeah, they're actually. God, that's a tough division. You know, LA have to just keep winning just to stay up with Arizona. That's how tough that division is.
That's right. And this realistically should have been a loss for Arizona.
Yeah, it should have been.
Well, they clawed back the game that they should have won last week against Green Bay.
Young Colt, 35-year-old McCoy just won it for him. I mean, look, Jimmy played okay, but he got sacked so many times that I think he
that's the thing. Jimmy G was not being helped out iota by any of his receivers in this game.
Oh, except
like two
Kittle.
Brutal fumbles. Ayuk and Kittle, when they're on the march, even if they're close to the red zone and runs after the catch or yards after the catch, they've still got both hands on the football. It's not as if they're running flippantly with it, holding it in one hand. You see them. Both of them have got two hands on the football, and it still gets punched out. Both of them.
Yeah.
And that's a confidence killer, because Jimmy G looked fine. Like that they weren't really getting much out of Elijah Mitchell out of their run game, but the passing game looked really good.
The other side, the running game was both sides were pretty good, but James Conner was exceptional in this game.
Oh,
21 carries and 96 yards. Yeah, I know.
What a pickup!
What a pickup! Maybe we weren't.
I'm so glad I never traded him to you.
We don't need to talk about that. I
39 fantasy points. Holy crap!
Yeah, look.
He was everywhere.
And you know, that's the other thing people probably forget. Take out last year, the year before, he was top 10 running back in all running backs.
He's not a bad. I just don't understand why Pittsburgh turfed him, even though they Najee Harris why wouldn't you want to have him there?
My thing is I can't believe that he was out there for Arizona to get on the free agency.
That's right.
when we all thought they had a decent running back in Chase Edmonds. But you know,
well, James, he went down early in this game, and then it just turned into the James Conner show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like James. I like James Conner, hence why you should have gave him to me. But anyway, that's a fantasy story. You could have gave it. You know, that was that week too, man. I would have been so good that week.
Oh, yeah. that just would have been totally heartbreaking. But the type of league that didn't really allow us as general managers to come to an agreement.
It was honestly for everybody. Nobody can tell me that they had a high scoring fantasy week this week. Not one person could have said they did, because no one did. I didn't see any scores over 200. They were all in the mid.
Oh, no, I don't think there was any insane scores, but I think in one of my leagues I actually scored all right. Based on the fact of James Conner.
I bet you everybody that held on to Ayuk was rejoicing after his 89 yards and one TD.
No, that's right. So, but like I said, that brutal fumble of his, and you're just like, oh no, like he's back now, and now are they going to have trust issues with throwing him the ball? Like George Kittle looked really good, and that run that he made, you know, he made all those yards after the catch. I think he made about 15 or 16 yards after the catch before the ball was punched out. And it basically turned into scoreboard chasing towards the end, and Garoppolo's only interception was pretty poor inside that fourth quarter. I think it was like 3 minutes to go as they're trying to chase the scoreboard, and that's essentially a game killer. Once you turn the ball over, still down, you know, 31, so still down two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And you throw the ball, gone again. It's turnovers. You know, those three turnovers were really crucial. And it's a game. So San Francisco, over their last eight home games, they're 1-7. So they at the moment simply can't win in Santa Clara. It's unbelievable.
Besides the
fact that it's supposedly 80 miles down the road from San Francisco.
That's exactly what was coming out of my mouth then, is that nobody's traveling and they're not getting that atmosphere and the crowd behind them, because it's literally at the middle of nowhere. It's 80 miles away from anything. It's a slog fest to get there, apparently. And if your team's
people would be half drained by the time, not so much drained, but you know, you think about 80 miles, that's about what, 140 Ks?
Yeah.
Is it they say 80 miles?
Oh, it is.
Or worked it out to maybe it's 80 kilometers?
No, it's 80 miles. It's out in the middle of nowhere, literally. It's a massive stadium. And what I read, it's literally an hour and a half one way to get there.
It might be 80 kilometers.
I think which is still probably, depending on traffic, could be an hour and a half to get there, an hour and a half back. You know, it's not like these other ones where it's like 10 minutes down the road or something.
No, well, that's it. And if it's all freeway sort of stuff too, then okay. So if you're going to travel from San Francisco, wow, look at that for a drive. If you're going to travel from San Francisco to Santa Clara, it's a 50 minute drive. So Santa Clara is basically right next to San Jose, if anybody knows their California geography, which is, you know, I guess sort of in that mid-coast-ish of California. That's still a hefty drive.
But still a hefty drive.
Okay, so that's when you think about that, yeah, 50 minutes.
I mean.
Yeah, so there you go. It's 54 miles.
And it's a half-decent crowd, you know, that's... So it's 40,000-50,000. That's trying to get back. Yeah, add another half an hour.
Oh, could you imagine that's right. You imagine the chaos on the roads.
That's what I'm getting at. It's unless they think they're going to build a town out there with that stadium, I don't get it. And that's probably why.
Then they're not called the San Francisco 49ers anymore. Who in the hell thought it was a great idea? Oh yeah, we need a new stadium.
Apparently.
All right, a good idea. Oh, let's have it 50 miles away, but
the
still call
apparently.
Ourselves the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, apparently the owners. So, next game was the Titans.
So if you live in the San Francisco / Oakland area, you've got nothing now.
No, I know. Okay, I know. You got nothing. Literally.
Especially if you're Oakland as well, because they've taken the Golden State Warriors and moved them across the bay to San Francisco as well.
Yeah.
You've got the age. You've got the athletics. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. They were pretty good this year.
And they've got one of the oldest, crappiest stadiums in baseball.
Yeah, and that's probably that's a reason why a lot of these teams are moving out, because
that's one of the main reasons why the Raiders moved out. They asked the government there, whether it was local and state, they said, you know, can you give us some funding so we don't have to share our stadium with the Oakland Athletics? And they said no, and it's like, right, oh cool, we'll just pack up the team, we'll move.
Who technically are still blitzing merch sales on the back of. Still, on, you know, it's funny seeing their stuff everywhere, but that's purely on the back of NWA. I'm telling you right now, it's on the back of NWA.
Oh, absolutely.
So
from Oakland to LA, back to Oakland, now to Vegas.
Oakland Raiders had still outsell everywhere. I tried to look for one a couple of weeks ago. You can't find them because it's ridiculous. But anyway,
no, that's right. It's the namesake. It's like Yankees hats, like LA Dodgers hats.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You see them everywhere, but I guarantee you walk up to that person and go, so who started for the Yankees yesterday? And they'll be like, I don't know what that means.
What's a Yankee?
Exactly. This is New York, right? I don't know what a Yankee is. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say. Titans beating the Rams. We talked about this sort of earlier. The Titans, what do you think? I guess what. You know, did what they needed to do there. Aaron Peterson starting for the first time in this game, back from the dead.
I mean, a little bit. Look, the first quarter was not very pretty in this game. Ryan Tannehill threw an interception on their first series. Matthew Stafford had an absolute total brain fart while they were backed up on their own 2-yard line, and instead of taking the safety. This is in the second quarter. So instead of they're backed up on their two yard line, and they get bull rushed by the Titans defense. He's in the end zone scrambling around. Instead of just taking the hit, the 2-point safety, he throws like a spa, he gets spun around, and then once he's facing forward, throws a pass, which I think it goes. Did it go? I think it was David Long. Just hits him straight in the chest. And then they score on the next play. The very next play. So we have our formalities. We have the point after. We have our mandatory kickoff, which generally goes for a touchback now, which is kind of boring as hell.
Yeah.
The very next play. Matthew Stafford throws another interception.
Yeah.
For a pick six.
Yeah. I think
it was such a crazy sequence. It's like, what the hell is going on?
I don't think this was as much as it was. It wasn't a great game by Matthew Stafford, for as much as it was probably a decent Tennessee Titans undervalued, maybe underestimated defense, or at least probably
underestimated, underappreciated. I think, like I said, I think the last 3 weeks Tennessee has had the best defense in the league, and they've really put a hurting on some good teams, and no more than going into LA and running roughshod over the Rams.
Yeah, because they the Rams were probably, you would think, of it would have been feeling themselves a little bit not having Derrick Henry there. But it was their deal. I mean, they sacked Matthew Stafford 5 times, for God's sake.
That's right.
So
their front four and their linebackers were fearsome.
Yeah.
Fearsome. And they were dominating the Rams' offensive line, hasn't really happened a lot this year.
That David Long, like you said, was awesome. I think he got 2 sacks in this game, I believe. It's their defense, which is kind of, I think it's probably underappreciated for the fact of everybody kept talking about Derrick Henry for the right reasons, obviously, but their defense has won them these games, and then the offense has just been there just enough to get them over the win. That literally is probably how it's going to go for the rest of the year.
And that's they've got to do a Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got to, and while we're not sort of comparing, well, I'm not comparing Ryan Tannehill to Big Ben, but that's the kind of approach that they're going to have to come out there with now, is defensively those guys have got to start making plays and keeping them in the game, because they don't have, you know, I guess this sort of outside shot MVP there, which a lot of their offense is funneled through now. It has to be on the back of Ryan Tannehill and running back by committee.
AJ Brown, Julio Jones, who is, again, I think he's going to be out after this week.
Looks like it. So AJ Brown, they picked up Adrian Peterson. Yeah. While he didn't look spectacular, you know, still looked in pretty good shape. Still fairly durable. Yeah, like I said, he didn't blow anybody's skirt up, but he's serviceable. And they'll have to be running back by committee, and hopefully they can get some sort of good play out of their, you know, next best thing other than AJ Brown. And with no Julio Jones there, that's really going to stunt them, I think.
Steelers beating the Bears towards the end. They were pretty. I thought they were fairly comfortable. Well, I guess right up until the fourth quarter, and it looked like the Bears were going to come back and just smash them right at the end. There, they were on fire in that fourth quarter, three quick TDs.
Pittsburgh had this game dominated for three quarters.
Yeah, they did. Fields was. I think he's getting better, would you say? I mean, obviously he's not.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah,
I think he's getting better. And
I think
better.
That could be a fact that, you know, from what I've read, that they're taking away a lot of the offensive play callings by Matt Nagy, and that could be the best thing that's happening there at the moment. He's looking nice. He's looking like he should have been the best or second best quarterback out of this class. And while it took them until the fourth quarter to get into gear on some of the stuff that he was doing, the way that he was sort of getting out of the pocket running, it looked good.
Yeah.
Especially against the Pittsburgh team who has got a fairly revered defense.
Yeah. No, you're right. And was able, he threw nearly 300 yards. So he shared the wealth around too. So he wasn't sort of too bad. In this game, look, I think, you know, again, I'm surprised Pittsburgh are in it, but they're technically in it 5-3. The AFC North NFC North, is completely sewed up. No one's catching Green Bay in that division. Minnesota.
I mean, it doesn't look like it.
Huge outside chance, but I doubt it. So,
It doesn't look like that. They can be caught even if Aaron Rodgers misses another week. Which if all goes according to plan, he should clear COVID protocols by Saturday. So that means he will be right to play next week. So that shouldn't really bother them too much, as long as he doesn't have any setbacks. But look, Pittsburgh. Look, this was an extremely controversial ending. Extremely controversial ending.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, with if nobody out there knows what we're talking about, referee Tony Corrente decided to get himself involved in this game, which he didn't really have to. So Cassius Marsh gets a really big sack on Big Ben. I think it brought up fourth down. I think it was third and eight. Gets the big sack. I'm pretty sure they were only down three. I think it was like 23-20 at the time. Mm-hmm. He does a very nice jumping roundhouse kick. Very nice to form. I think it's more of a nice roundhouse back kick a la Double Dragon, the video game. If you're that old to remember Double Dragon, the video game, you'll sort of know what I'm talking about. Anyway. So as he gets up from that and he sort of gives the Pittsburgh bench a little bit of a glare, we all know that, taunting at the moment in the league is very, very naughty, and you're not allowed to do that because you're not allowed to have fun in the NFL. As the acronym would be NFL, No Fun League. as he is coming back to, you know, gather himself and get back into defensive formation, he gets extremely close to referee Tony Correnti, who was just looking for an excuse to throw the flag on him. And he sort of, you know, a la in the NBA, just sort of gives him a little bit of a hip check on a screen as he goes past him. As soon as he makes contact, wham, up goes the flag.
The ref hit checked him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the referee gave him a nice little hip check as he went past.
There's the contact
with the referee. Up goes the flag. It's a first down of 15 yards.
There was something against the Bears in this game with the refs. They just pissed them off. They were looking to literally throw that flag, and that's how it looked.
Absolutely. The referee was looking to throw the flag. If you see it, it's so bizarre. Like if he's giving a very bizarre, you know, very it's nasty very glare over to the Pittsburgh bench, so throw the flag there. If you think that's this so-called BS taunting sort of garbage that's going on at the moment, then throw the flag there.
There's no taunting at all. Ridiculous. No,
but in saying that too, like, you don't want to put, like, it's on Tony Correnti because he was the one that stuck his hip out. But if you're the player, don't go anywhere near the referee. Don't go anywhere near them.
Yeah, exactly right.
Why did he have to run so close, so borderline to the referee? Just stay.
Because he's thinking in the back of his head. But you're right.
Stay away from them.
You're right. It essentially lost them the game.
Well, that's right. They got the 15 yards. They got a first down. They kick a field goal. That's the deciding factor in this game. And it come down, you know, late in the fourth quarter, and they're absolutely game-changing calls. Absolutely game-changing calls.
100% it was. 100%. Before we just finish up on the games, the two defensive players in this game, I love both of them. TJ Watt getting 3 sacks and 7 tackles, and Roquan Smith, another 12 tackles and a sack. And two of those tackles are tackles for losses. They're both unbelievable defensive players. Both of them.
No, that's right. And Roquan Smith really sort of stood up over the last couple of weeks with our Khalil Mack there as well.
He's so good. He's 24. He is going to lead that team because Khalil's obviously getting on an age. I think he is number one, if I believe. I'm pretty sure he is number one, like, in terms of all linebackers, he's number one in terms of solo tackles.
He is a thick human being.
He is. What is he? So he's 6'1", which is not very tall, but he's 232. So Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Move on to our studs and duds of the week. Your stud of the week.
As much as I did want to give it to James Conner. It is another player inside that Arizona team, Colt McCoy.
Oh, wow.
Stepped in, was as flawless as you can get. Yeah, Arizona did not miss a beat against San Francisco. Did not miss a beat going into, you know, essentially as the away team going into their building and getting the job done. I was really impressed by what Colt McCoy did.
No, yeah, that's fair. No, I was impressed with him, but couldn't go past that first game, that Friday game. Jonathan Taylor was extremely impressive to me. Extremely impressive. He will now most likely be the best running back in the NFL by the end of the year. He's
quite possibly.
He's on fire. He started slow, which is very interesting. Oh, yeah. In a few leagues, we all have him in. I mean, I was like, oh, what have I done?
After two weeks, great. This guy's a total bust.
Well, in a lot of drafts, if you remember, he fell. You know, no one was picking him, you know, in the up until 8th, 9th, 10th, still in the first round. But, yeah, I think purely because I think they all thought Nyheim Hines would still, who was complimentary in this game, would still be just as complimentary. But he was the sixth best running back last year, Jonathan Taylor. So it's like everyone sort of missed a beat. Now he's just gone from strength to strength. I think he's, 23, 24?
He's still very young, yeah.
Well, Jesus Christ, he's 22. Wow. Okay. Dud of the week. You already kind of mentioned my dud of the week. I honestly, that whole hip check episode hoopla from the refs, it was abominable. And more than I haven't heard anything about it since.
I haven't heard anything about is there going to be any sort of reprimand for the referee, like just nothing. It's just gone totally silent.
I think
that's very much being swept under the rug, and the only people who are going to get any answers or would have to investigate themselves would be the Chicago Bears. And it's kind of fruitless because you're not going to get the win back. Like, you're not going to get still a loss on your resume. So there's not a whole lot of positive outcome, put off
referees in other games. So
not a lot of positivity that can come out of that. So I'm not sure where the NFL stands in regards to what could be happening to that particular official. And I guess that particular player, if they, you know, obviously there's whether there's any back and forth there or not by the league and the Chicago Bears. My dud of the week is Mike McCarthy. What in the hell are you doing leaving Dak Prescott coming off a calf injury down 30-0? 30 points to zip. Sit his ass down. Good point. Say, look, I'm sorry, Dak.
Well,
it's just not your day today, son. And we'll throw Cooper Rush out there to the Wolves.
You don't
want to say out to the Wolves, but...
Well, wasn't it?
Why leave him in there? Look, he's come out with this bullshit. Sorry, at the end of that, during the press conference, and the media grilled him about it. And he's like, oh, no, I just want to see how my two-minute offense... Get out of here with that. No.
And Cooper Rush...
Denver had put the cue in the rack by then. So he's not getting a true test of the two-minute offense. And so Cooper, you can do that sort of stupid crap at training. You want to run the two-minute drill? Do it at training, because you've still got a fairly good defense there at training. So run it there. You don't need to run it in a real game situation. It was fruitless, because if Dak had have popped the calf, or if somebody had have got through the line and popped him, then Mike McCarthy would have been crucified for ruining a potential really good season for the Dallas Cowboys. I failed to see the point of leaving him in there in the fourth quarter when they're down 30-0.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing, for the fact of like how good good enough Cooper Rush was the week before.
The cons outweigh the pros. That's all I'll say. 100%. Yes, 100%. Well, like I said, while there is
That's
pros
fair.
For doing it, the cons far outweigh. You know this game is gone. It is gone.
Yep. No,
so
that's fair.
Your quarterback. Look, the Giants did it a few weeks ago with Daniel Jones.
Yeah. No,
they
that's
getting
fair.
Hammered, and they left Jones in there. It's like, what happens if he gets hurt?
Yeah, you're right.
Your already terrible season is going to be totally gone.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So we'll finish quickly on some news.
OBJ. There's just three letters to talk about. That's OBJ.
Mr. Odell Beckham Jr. Has successfully, I guess, got himself out of the Cleveland Browns, probably by a little bit of lobbying by his father, by the looks of it as well. So
and a little bit of destructive Twitter talk by one LeBron James, who is supposedly a Cleveland Brown. He is the biggest front runner when it comes to teams. Oh, I love the Dallas Cowboys. I love the New York Yankees. I'm going to go play for the LA Lakers. Get out of here.
Yeah, pick one and then stick with it. So.
No, let's see. He's from Ohio. He loves Ohio. I love Ohio. Yeah, Cleveland's just up the road. I'm from Akron, blah, blah. That's it. Yeah, nah, screw that. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah, we don't need you. And then he's cleared waivers and then has essentially picked I don't know what we haven't really talked about this, but essentially picked the LA Rams as his team.
Were you surprised? by that, because I'd heard three teams that were extremely aggressive in trying to get him. The New England Patriots, the New Orleans Saints, and the Green Bay Packers.
And I also heard Seattle Seahawks as well. Make another push.
Wow.
To make a light push. Because Russell's just coming back this week as well. So who was that other third team you said? Sorry.
Packers, the Saints, and the Patriots.
Oh, Packers. Yeah.
He goes to the Patriots, he is absolutely a number one option.
Oh, exactly.
He goes to the Saints, he is absolutely a number one option.
He goes to the Packers, and that is...
He's the number two option.
And they're a huge Super Bowl push. I'm not surprised. I mean, this is very, very late news. I'm not surprised, but, you know, he'll have to get acclimatized, obviously, you know, to their playbook. It'll be interesting to see how quickly he moves up that depth chart now. Rams are all, you know, if it hasn't been proven already with all their draft piece going, Rams are all in for everything. So
they're all in for this year. They absolutely want that Super Bowl.
They'll take everybody. They literally will take everybody. Like that, it seems like that's what it seems like, I guess. The Super Bowl is in SoFi this year, if that's what you're looking
at. I was just about to say, where is the Super Bowl again this year? I'm pretty sure that it's in La La Land.
It is in La La Land. That's why they want it.
The thing is, all it's going to be is if they win it in their own stadium, they're the second team to ever do it. They're not making history. Because Tampa did it last year.
I don't think it's that. I just think...
I don't think it's that, but do you know what I mean?
It'll be like the LA, you know, the whole... Well, I honestly think they're in a foot race. Those two teams are now probably in a foot race to see the first LA team that's going to win the Super Bowl. That's what it seems like. And the Chargers, you know, could have been, look like last year, the year before, were well behind, but they're pretty much there now with them, I think. I mean, they're not in front of them by any stretch.
The Chargers have got a better future.
Oh, big time. Big time.
The Rams are in for the here and the now. And, you know, in the last 2 weeks, they've definitely put their mark on the league, you know, with Von Miller the week before and now Odell Beckham Jr. So
they're doing, oh, I hate to say it, but they're doing what the LA Lakers are doing and just taking everybody. That's a great, you know, great player, or at least a player that was good back in the years.
How do you think this works now with OBJ being there? He's a big star. He's in LA, the bright lights, blah, blah, blah. Look, he's not the player that he used to be in 2017, 2018. It's proven he's not there, but he is a highlight reel player. Does he make this team any better? I've already seen memes out there. Odell Beckham Jr. crushes Matt Stafford already for not passing him the ball. Like, you know what I mean? His boy, Cooper Kupp, that's going to be the guy who's going to be getting the lion's share of...
Exactly.
He gets like 32% of targets.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp's getting the ball. But no, if he realizes that and he's there to win a championship, then I think
he's ring chasing.
But that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Look what happens in the Buccaneers. And look, you say that. Look at how Antonio Brown's career and life changed around when he went to the Bucs. Same situation.
Yeah, but he had Tom Brady throwing the ball, not Matthew Stafford.
Oh, Matthew Stafford's been good this year.
Oh no, he has, but he's not the greatest quarterback to ever play.
No, he's not Tom Brady. Now, of course not. But what I'm pointing at is Antonio Brown's a lot older than, you know, Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham's still just, or you think he's turning...
He's 29, isn't he? He's 29.
Yeah, 29. So he still has years in him. I just
don't know if this makes them any better. If all those years that he was at the Giants, did he make them any better?
No.
They were an awful team the last few years of Manning's career and him being there. He's a highlight player.
You know what he is and what I keep hearing? He's a Madden specialist player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody wants to pick him up on Madden because somehow every kid loves him. Every kid still loves him.
That's right, he's
OBJ,
a name.
And he somehow gets catches in Madden, but probably because of that one catch. that he did with the Giants. And because obviously he got signed and that. I watched that catch the other day. God damn, that is unbelievable, that catch.
Oh, it's the damnedest catch you've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
I have no earthly idea how he held on, gloves and all still, how he held onto it, how he came down. It was an unbelievable catch.
He does it in practice for fun these days.
Anyway. OBJ, we'll see how they go. I'm not surprised from the Rams. I'm surprised that he went there. I'm not surprised that the Rams didn't go after him.
I am surprised that I would have thought I didn't hear anything realistically, about Seattle, but I would have absolutely thought that Green Bay.
That would have been the most smartest for him. It would have been see you shut the gate. If he went there to have that other compliment, they would have been Super Bowl. Super Bowl easily. They would have been in the Super Bowl. I still think they will be, but yeah, it's God. That NFC is a bit. What do you got? Bucks, Rams, and Packers. Jesus Christ, who do you put in that one?
And
who
Dallas.
Do you pick in that one?
Look, and Dallas as well.
I know, but I can't temper expectations. I'll be happy if we just win the division, which we will. But
well,
I'll
Arizona.
Yeah, 8-1. Well, they're there exactly. Jesus Christ.
And the NFC.
Oh my God.
Playoffs. Once they roll around and once these playoff games and there's only one bye, so that is just an absolute premium because you do not want to be playing any of these high caliber teams.
Ooh.
In that super wild card weekend.
Well, I looked at the.
They're going to be
actually
brutal games.
Insane. I looked at the moment, and you meant the top teams we just mentioned. If it sits the way it sits now, the Cowboys would play the Rams first round. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know. That's anyway. AFC, you know, take a pick, literally. The Pats
The Pats
now are realistically up there. The Pats.
AFC, like I said, whoever gets hot in the final
literally.
Month of the season,
I still think it's
they'll
Bills.
Go to the Super Bowl.
I still think it's Bills. I mean, and we can't
discount.
They're
going to have to work something out real quick.
And we still can't technically discount the Chiefs for all
no,
even know where we're
just
sitting.
There's a lot of teams there. Like, you know, the whole AFC North, I think, can still realistically make a charge at it.
And Ravens.
Look, Tennessee, the way that they've been playing, we have to wait and see how they play now consistently without Derrick Henry. As much as you don't want to discount Indianapolis, look, that they had that brutal start to the season with – some really tough teams. If they can string together, you know, a few games, the Chargers. We don't know. We don't know what the Raiders are going to be.
Yeah.
Will their season totally fall off the rails as it goes on?
It is a topsy-turvy, absolute cannot pick fantasy wise season. Cannot pick tips wise season.
Tips this year has been woof.
Tips and fantasy. You can't. There's been no real proper consistent player. But anyway. Look at the time. That will be it for this week 10 of our NFL pod. As always, socials, Facebook and Twitter. The names in the podcast, Final Play Podcast. Get all our links on Facebook as well as our podcast on gimco.com.au or Eureka Sports Cards if you're on Facebook.
They've got. I think they had a couple of breaks going on this week. I think there's some Origins, NFL Origins going up there. I think there might have even been a case break of Origins at the moment. And I think it's sold out pretty quick. So they had a couple of pick your team breaks in Origins, and I missed out on the Saints, so I didn't go in on that. So check us out. It's fairly easy to find. It's in the community section of the gimco.com.au website. And there'll be, as you click down on the tab, and there'll be another little tab there that says podcast. And you can either listen to them direct off the website or download them and listen to them whenever you want. Check us out on, we're on Spotify and SoundCloud as well. That's sort of like our main platform. Like you said, Twitter, all of our links to everything up there. Yeah, that's it. And so we're on Darren's tips as well. If you want to check him out on Facebook, check him out on Facebook. He's based in New Zealand, and we're also associated with Escorted Sports Tours as well. So shout out to Shane as well with them. He lets us post up on Facebook, so we've got a little bit extra audience. So thanks to Shane with that as well. Shout out to all our regular listeners there too. So with those guys, and also on Gimco. So g'day to those guys. That's pretty much it for the formalities. So can we have a better tipping week next week, or are we going to have football happen again this week? I don't know. I'm sick of football happening. I just want regular tips. Can we just have some regular tips, please?
You mean like do we sign off as my name's Jason Woke Smith because of all these tips?
Absolutely, yeah. Miles Woke Plum. I'm woke. I'm totally woke.
The scary thing is, before we finish, is a lot of these, there's a lot of blowout games, but it's hard to pick. Colts are favorite at $1.20 over the Jags. Cowboys are favorite at $1.25 over the Falcons. Oh, Jesus Christ, that's hard. The Bills, $1.13 over Jets is $6. The Bucks, $1.20 over Washington. And the Steelers, they're over the Detroit Lions. But, there's some big odds, that could go anyway. That's the thing. You don't know. It's a tipper's nightmare.
I think the only one that sort of, is a safe shot, even with a double digit, line against them, is Arizona and Carolina.
The Dallas Cowboys are eight-point favorite against the Falcons.
Take that 8 points. Look, and in saying that, the Cowboys could bounce back to life this week. You don't know. You'd hope that would just be one of those anomaly games. And they'll be back to their, NFC East leading best. But Atlanta will take a lot of confidence out of last week.
And the Lions are hard this week. Jesus Christ! Even your team, they're only 2.5 point outsiders against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I've got 3 points. They're Tennessee have got -3. So. Only a field goal in it, and I honestly don't know if Tennessee can't get the run game going, their offense will be really hard to get going against the Saints.
I'm not betting this week. I don't bet. So
yeah, no, I'm totally betting this week.
All right. Well, have a good week on that. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.